Well, good morning, my friends. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research while I make an absolute mess out of myself with the purple sticks on my computer laptop. I try.
You mix it on the counter over there.
I do a lot of times. A lot of times, I have a timing that I do with the shake that I like, and it keeps me running good through the whole show. But I guess I need to get like a bib and a placemat. This is just embarrassing. It's good, though. It works. Product's awesome. You guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. Team Health Masters on sale for the product of the week. You guys voted in it. One, the one and only EyeSight formula. This is probably one of the best eye support formulas on the market. If you have not tried it.
I took it this morning.
Did you? Mm-hmm. It's really good. I get a lot of results from people talking about how they're having issues, especially when they're looking at iPads or iPhones or laptops or big, gigantic 85-inch TV screens on their studio every single day. And the ingredients we have are clinically relevant. They work great. They all have a synergistic effect on one another and really maintaining overall eye health. So I'll get back into that later, but I'll give you guys a heads up. It is up and on sale on the website right now at Team Health Masters. So be sure to take advantage of that anytime. And if you got any questions, give us a call or email us. And be sure to stay updated on thebrowershow.com. We put lots of time and energy into that page, giving you guys the updated shows every single day on here. And I told you guys, we put the episode, the show notes, the related episodes, the support, and the products that we talk about on the show, making it really easy to stay up to date on everything that's going on, especially with health news. I guess they're making eggs I don't know what that is on that one. We have some weird photos that pop up on here. Michael Baer does a great job, though, as far as keeping everything updated. And so make sure, sign up for our weekly newsletter. Get updated to your email every single day. I'm going to drink some of my shake. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Alexander Bruce wrote an article here with Forbidden News, and I'm going to cover it for just a second.
Yeah.
And it says that we're all MK Ultra victims. Now, I don't agree with the whole article, though she is a brilliant writer, but I agree with a lot of what she said. And she goes on to say, she goes, in a world basically where you're forced to take on an amyloidogenic bioweapon, this is the COVID shot, keep your job and not kill grandma in a world where men compete in women's sports and this is sold as virtuous, in a world where a career criminal is celebrated as a national hero, in a world where the French president's wife is a male pedophile, this may be a world.
Whoa!
Is that what she said? Since you so rudely interrupted me.
That would call me off guard.
In a world where the French president's wife is a male pedophile, this may be a world where you can have a composite of four different actors wearing a $40,000 CIA-fabricated mask and AI graphics portraying a U.S. President Joe Biden, who supposedly, she says, has been dead since before he took office.
That's a bold statement.
I know this is way out there. I got this, okay? I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm just saying this is what she's writing. But you got to remember, about everything they tell us is a lie anyhow, right, Austin?
That's true.
This may be the world where Joe Biden disappeared for a couple of weeks after the CrowdStrike outage last July because much of Joe Biden was a digital animation created by Azure AI and hosted by Microsoft Cloud. Below is one of the many instances early in the Biden regime of a digital video special effects failure, which revealed that Sleepy Joe was actually a rubber-masked actor in front of a green screen playing the guy who stole the election. This is interesting. The background source footage of the White House lawn, into which the Biden actor from another video source has been chroma keyed, contains furry microphones in the foreground.
Yeah.
When the chroma keyed actor's hands overlap the microphones, which are closer from the perspective of the White House lawn, the illusion is destroyed. The special effect could have worked had the actor not walked too close to the camera that was filling him with the green screen location. Or maybe it was a blooper, it was done on purpose. There are other problems with this chroma key, the white hair and the skinny bald spot on top of his head. And he goes, and Jawan Osavin tells us here, you're all MK Ultra mind control victims. The plan to program the American people and people across the world has been going on not for decades, but over 100 years of the modern era to get you to believe things that aren't true, that suit this control group's purposes to get you to march in lockstep with them. Klaus Schwab, by 2030, you know nothing and you'll be happy. Juan says that the breakaway civilization is at war with humanity. Catherine Austin Fitz also says this. They did the Oklahoma City bombing. bombing. They did 9/11 in order to pass the Patriot Act and to create the Department of Homeland Security, which is a basis for surveillance states, creating a digital twin simulation of you and everything in state. He explains this is why the Trump administration needs powerful AI in order to fight fire with fire. So now he starts getting to the point where we start getting into Donald Trump's involved with all this and trying to fix it all. Juan explains the purpose of President Trump's superfluous beast mode posts are to make him sound crazy. And as what we believe is reality is not reality at all. And so all of this stuff is interesting to me, and I kind of laugh when I read it, because then he starts doing the Q stuff again, okay, which we know is a CIA psychop. But the reality is the reason I brought this up yesterday, because we talked about cloning in detail, Austin, and we talked about, you know, fake actors and actresses on the world stage, and that we're all basically a theater presentation for the entire universe to watch. And do I believe it's possible that some of these actors or actresses are wearing these super expensive fabricated masks?
Like Mission Impossible?
Mm-hmm. The answer is I actually do believe that's possible. I don't believe that's science fiction. I believe that's possible. I believe if you put enough money into something like that, you can make it look real.
Well, you got to figure out what to spend trillions of dollars on, my friend. That's the thing about it.
These hammers don't cost $5,000.
No, they don't. And you got to figure out where this black hole money goes. And, I mean, they've talked about it in some of the black ops topics that I've talked to and read certain things on. Is, I mean, some of the surveillance stuff, some of the spy stuff that they have is so far advanced what they even show us. And I remember there was a guy that I talked to years ago, and he said, whatever you see in Hollywood films, we're already 10 to 20 years past that in DOD and DARPA.
Well, you know, the guy from, you know, he said that also. When he walked away, I think it was Kurzweil, he said that, if you've seen it in Hollywood, we've already done it.
Yeah.
So, you know, now he's talking about teleportation. He's talking about all kinds of stuff here. Wormholes, all of this. Now, whether or not he specified any of those, which I don't know if he did or not in private meetings, but the point is if he's saying stuff like that, he kind of means it. And then they started asking him about how fast could we travel. He said, you got to think about the speed of thought. Because thought can produce scalar energy fields.
That's crazy.
Okay, so all of this. You know, it's like that one movie, Independence Day, that came out about 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Will Smith. And the president gets brought into this deep underground military bunker with a bunch of aliens.
Yeah.
Remember that?
The alien ship and everything, yeah.
And the president goes, where did you get all this money to fund this? And this little Jewish guy sitting there walking with him goes, you really think a hammer costs $5,000? Where do you think it all comes from? From the budget, you know? And so, you know, all of a sudden we know that $2.3 trillion was missing from the Pentagon budget the day before 9/11 happened. They covered all that up.
I mean, you can only buy so many mega yachts. And so many cars and so many mansions and so many countries. To a certain point, you have to start buying more stuff. You got to figure out how to spend all this money on.
Oh, by the way, we got another ship burning out there in the Pacific Ocean coming out of China with a bunch of lithium-ion battery cars.
That's nice. Those
and I didn't realize this. And Rich brought this up. He asked about the smoke coming off those ion batteries, if they're toxic. And sure enough, it puts out fluoride gas.
That's this
ship
stuff.
This happened last time too. Remember the ship?
Yeah, they abandoned it.
They abandoned it because when these guys get around that stuff, they're going to die from it.
Well, that's the one that had the Bentley and Porsche and Lamborghini and stuff on it. What brands were on this one? Did they say yet?
They bunch of Chinese riffraff.
Oh, good riddance.
Chinese riffraff. But they just left it burning out there in the
ocean. Don't care. Whatever. We can't put it out. There's no way to put it out. I've talked to the local firefighters, and they have different classes now that they've had to advance basically all the crews on to handle EV fires.
Remember when that one was burning with all the Lamborghinis? They got the fire put out, and they had all this damage to all these.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? All of a sudden it capsizes and sinks in the middle.
Yeah.
That's why they were towing it back in. Okay. All right. Yeah, no insurance claim here to look at. We're 12,000 feet deep.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Well, by the way, Lenin had a question. I find this interesting. Paul Craig Roberts wrote this. He says, Lenin's question is the question of our time. Now that some total idiot in the Trump regime has greenlighted an attack on the Russian strategic forces, John Helmer raises Lenin's question, what is to be done? As I understand it, Washington's attack on the Russian strategic forces grounds under current Russian war doctrine for Putin to push the button. There seems to be more awareness among Russian people than in Washington and Europe of the seriousness of the situation. With too long of a wait, it eventually dawned on the White House that Trump must be disassociated from the attack, as otherwise the attack is easily interpreted as a Washington's declaration of war on Russia, which is true. If Trump says, I knew nothing about this. What confidence does the attack on Russia's strategic forces give Putin? Okay. Why does Trump announce constructing a $1 trillion dome to protect the U.S. from incoming missiles when costless alternatives mutual security agreement? Just tell everybody, tell everybody,
but then Raytheon and Lockheed Martin don't get the $1 trillion contract.
Another problem with the White House disavowal of Trump is competence as a president. Let's examine the implication of Trump not being informed on our tactic. Russia war doctrine is sufficient to launch nuclear weapons. Is this a sign of Donald Trump's incompetence or his irrelevance? It's not only the White House is making a sign of stupid action to have unleashed the nuclear war, but it's all of Washington, Europe, and the Western whore media, a collection of despicable people who lie for a living. We are facing an existential threat to the continued existence of life on Earth, and the idiot whore media is telling us about some celebrity's concern with her sex life. I guess Kardashians and her buttocks have not improved. You know, now we got to deal with P. Diddy and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
From the beginning of Putin's never widening war, never ending war over a few kilometers in the Russian provinces of communist agenda side of Ukraine, we're now having Russian strategic forces being destroyed. How many non-responses and provocations can Putin survive? Washington's neoconservatives might succeed in destabilizing Putin, considering all the help that Putin is giving them. If Putin is replaced by a Lenin, the Western world is over and done with. We're watching the Trump regime fall apart. Now, listen to this. This is the main reason I wanted to read this. Now, whether you agree with this or not, send me an email. AskDrTedB@Yahoo.com. See what you think. We are watching the Trump regime fall apart. Elon Musk, once a tower of strength, has left, and now he's criticizing the Trump regime, and basically he's incredibly mad because the new budget has taken away a whole bunch of subsidies for Tesla.
Now, I want to add on that, because I had somebody send me an article last night, and I was unaware of the full extent. They're pulling the entire EV subsidies, $7,500, the $1,000 for the charging stations. They said essentially that whole thing's going to cost Tesla at least $11 to $12 billion this year minimum.
I read $15 billion. They said that contributed to the profit for Tesla last year.
Well, that's the problem. And this is the biggest thing I said. Regardless of Elon Musk and what he does with cutting the budget or Doge or any of that, Tesla itself only functioned because of the government subsidies it was given.
And it's going to collapse now.
It was a total loss of a company. It couldn't stand on its own.
Well, the government, I didn't know this, they were getting $4,000 subsidies for used Teslas.
Yeah. They were giving rebate checks back on used EV Tesla purchases.
Nobody would buy them.
You remember the last time? You know, that last time I went and bought a Duramax, they gave me a whole bunch of money back to buy the Duramax from the government because they were encouraging me to buy a truck.
I don't remember that.
Oh, I don't ever remember that, actually. I don't ever remember the government encouraging anybody to buy anything unless they want you to buy it. If they want you to buy it, you probably don't want it.
We'll continue with this. We were watching the Trump regime fall apart. Elon Musk, once a tower of strength, has left. Russian strategic forces are attacked, and Trump doesn't even know about it. Robert F. Kennedy, Jr., Secretary of Health and Human Services, announces the deadly COVAX will no longer be recommended for pregnant women and healthy children. Then, a week later, the head of the CDC, a subordinate to the Secretary to Kennedy, gives the finger to his boss and announces the COVID vax will be recommended for pregnant women and healthy children. Robert Kennedy announces that no vaccines will be approved without tests, and then the CDC approves Big Pharma's vaccine without any tests.
This one, then the FDA just comes out with a new Moderna vaccine that uses the new self-amplifying mRNA technology, the vaccine mNEX spike. Just talked about it the other day. So while they say we're pulling the shot off the shot schedule, the COVID shot's not necessary. We're not recommending anybody get it. Children and women need to stay away from it that are pregnant. Oh, by the way, we just approved the new self-amplifying RNA gene therapy COVID shot.
Much deadlier.
Much deadlier, apparently. And this doctor, Dr. Campbell, came in and said, this is disappointing, to put it mildly. Reviewing the package insert, Campbell said the vaccine caused serious adverse reactions in 2.7% of clinical trial participants. He goes, I would not dream in a clinical practice of giving treatment that had a 2.7% risk of serious adverse events unless there's a really big risk. And there's no big risk.
Campbell said the data showed exponentially more adverse reactions reported following the COVID-19 vaccines than any other vaccines, including 118 times more than the flu vaccine. How can this be approved is rather a mystery to me, he said. He also noted the trials for the new spike didn't test the vaccine against the placebo. Instead, it was tested against another spike vax.
There you go.
Moderna's previous COVID-19, because it had already been approved.
Yep.
And it showed significantly higher efficacy. The trials didn't test for efficacy against illness, hospitalization, or deaths. Instead, they measure whether the vaccine triggered neutralizing antibodies.
This is what we talked about. They never tested to see if it actually prevented death or serious illness. It just triggered RNA gene therapy to start producing spike proteins in the body.
Well, this article goes on to say, in other words, there is no Trump administration in place. The establishment rules. This is the group that took down Building 7. Just thought I'd mention that if they talk about the establishment. Trump and his government are irrelevant. I covered that the day after the election last year, if you want to hear that show. Trump does the bidding of Israel. There we go. And the security, military, industrial complex, which Eisenhower warned us about. Big Pharma, not Secretary Robert Kennedy, makes the decisions. Elon Musk gives up and goes home. The FBI director validates the unbelievable Epstein suicide narrative. By the way, Bongino just did that. He came in and completely pooped on himself and validated Epstein's suicide.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I mean, that's ridiculous. The Trump Justice Department has held no one accountable for attempted frame of President Trump by the CIA and FBI. And Attorney General Bondi has weaponized law, is halted, but as those responsible have not been held accountable, and the Democrats will again weaponize law, and nobody will release the Epstein files. I warned that this would be the result. I repeat that I wrote what Trump was making his comeback without opposition by the ruling establishment because the ruling establishment was going to control Trump. I'm adding that. The American establishment decided to let Trump again be president. The establishment knew they could use the judiciary, the civil service, and the Trump appointees who would betray Trump for success in the establishment. I saw all of this in the Reagan administration with appointees, few being Reagan's, betraying him for their advancement of the ruling establishment. The establishment reasoned that the easiest way to eliminate populist opposition is to put their leader in the presidency, block him at every turn, thereby demoralizing his supporters. You hear what he's saying, Austin?
Yep.
In other words, we're going to put Trump back in, hope will be eviscerated, defeated people go home and accept whatever's accepted to them. This is why I warned you guys in 2016 when Donald Trump said, I will basically get rid of, you know, I'm going to put in red flag gun laws. And all the stuff that he did, including the COVID. Remember Operation Warp Speed? Remember, this is all Donald Trump's little narrative. And I said, okay, this isn't right. Something's wrong here. Somebody else is pulling the strings. And then I told you guys, and a lot of you guys got really, really mad at me. I said, I will never vote again for the lesser of two evils. And a lot of you got mad. And, I mean, of course, I did not vote for Biden or Kamala Harris. I wouldn't do that. But the point is, I knew that he was being controlled by the opposition that runs the planet through the money supply. I covered that in depth the day after the election. The establishment reasoned that the easiest way to eliminate populist opposition is to make the people go home defeated. What happened with January the 6th, Austin?
Yep.
Donald Trump had the ability to pardon all of those people before he left office. All of them. He did not. He waited. He let them, most of them, languish in jails and accept plea bargains for 4 years. Then he pardoned them. But everybody got to be punished for 4 years. You know, you get locked up for 4 years, it'll kick the wind out of your sails.
Yeah. It'll beat you down.
You know, I've got a friend of mine. Her son stole a bunch of stuff, according to the research that I've done on it. She got charged with it because she found the stuff in her house. She's been in jail now for months, and it's kicked the wind out of her sails. And they're charging her now with her son's crime, apparently, because we don't know the full extent of what's happening with this. You go to prison long enough, you go to jail long enough, you get beaten around enough, you get transferred enough to be put in solitary confinement, Austin,
yeah.
All you want is out.
Out.
So you take 1,000 or 2,000 people from January the 6th, and you lock them up for the leaders. You'll kick the wind out of the sail.
Well, it's the same thing that we saw, you know, with one of our good doctors that basically was fighting the FDA over the claim, you know, that D3 is good for your immune system.
I remember I told him when they started that lawsuit they were going to give him a settlement. And I said, just take the settlement. And he goes, oh, I'm fighting this. I'm going to win this. And I'm like, no, you won't. I said, they have your tax dollars to defeat you.
That's the problem.
I said, they have unlimited funds.
It's an open wallet lawsuit. Yeah, there is no cap.
I mean, I remember Roger Stone told me they had signed 600 approximately attorneys against him. And they overwhelmed him with paperwork.
That's bankrupt almost immediately. Every attorney files another motion. And they all have pages and pages of stuff.
There's no way to defend it. He ended up being sentenced to prison. And then Donald Trump did pardon him, thank God. And here's a final sentence on this. Trump was America's last chance. If he were a young Julius Caesar, he may have succeeded. But like Julius Caesar, the establishment was against him. Trump's entire government consists of Israeli puppets. I found that interesting. Yeah. They will do anything for Israel and little for America. The Zionist Trump regime has vetoed the UN Security Council resolution against Israel's ongoing slaughter of Palestinians by bullets, bombs, starvation, and disease. War with Iran can still result from Iran's refusal of Trump's dictates that serve Israel's interests. We still await problems that the Trump regime will create with China. Now, what's interesting about this is you have to ask yourself a question. Why in the world are we doing this, and are we supporting Israel to this level? Well, it's very simple. We basically have the ability to we have given the Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan the ability to create fiat currency. they could control the economies based upon how much money they allow to be in circulation with the M1 money supply. And so they have the ability now, because Rothschild's fiefdom is Israel, to do whatever they want to do from an economic standpoint globally. They literally own the planet. And so that's why we're kowtowing down to this country in the Middle East. And they had to find a way to make anti-Semitism illegal, and that's why they brought in the Scofield Reference Bible, Austin, 100 years ago.
Exactly right.
And what, over 100 years ago now. And that brought it into the university systems, which means that if you say anything against Israel, you're going to be cursed.
Which is not biblical at all.
It's not biblical at all. And so the problem now is that we have groups of people now that will do anything to support Israel, including causing the destruction of the entire planet with World War III and kill the entire population of the planet, and they say it's justified. I've had them tell me that personally, and these are high-level people. They believe this. A few years ago, I was flying out to St. Louis, and I met a guy that you know from Lakeland who's got a church over there, and he's a high-level Zionist in the Christian community, and he was going up to Washington, D.C. for a big Israeli meeting for the Zionists in America.
Yeah.
He was one of the keynote speakers up there. And he told me, he goes, oh, no matter what Israel wants, Israel's going to get. This is the brainwashing that's occurred. If Russia did what Israel's doing, if we did what Israel's doing, heaven forbid if Germany did what Israel's doing, and you go to one of their neighbors and start producing a massive genocide, the entire world would turn against them, Austin.
Yeah.
But we don't do that. And now a controversial Christian Zionist is appointed to lead the U.S., Israel, Gaza aid scheme.
There you go. More money laundering.
Reverend Dr. Johnny Moore, president of the Congress of Christian Leaders, attends the Museum of Tolerance commemoration of the one-year anniversary of the October 7 attacks at the Museum of Tolerance on October the 6th, 2024, Los Angeles, California. The God's Humanitarian Foundation, the GHF, widely criticized U.S. and Israel initiative accused of facilitating Israel's genocidal war on Gaza. Now, Moore's appointment follows the abrupt resignation of Jack Wood, a former U.S. Marine humanitarian aid leader who left the role, citing the GHF's inability to operate while upholding humanitarian principles of neutrality, humanity, impartiality, and independence. I'm going to post this article, let you guys read it. But the point is this. Why in the world, other than the Christian Zionists and other because of evangelical people, have we given a country in the Middle East that kind of power over us? You know, James Traficant said once, he said that that Israel is controlled by the dual Israeli citizens in Congress. The United States is controlled by Israelis dual citizens in Congress. And I stop and I think about it. And I go, well, it can't be like that. It really can't. And then I analyze everything. I'm like, well, wait a minute. They pretty much control the money supply, which means they control whatever we see and believe. And now more and more companies, Austin, are being bought up by other companies, and then they're being bought up by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. And that's exactly what Klaus Schwab said. By 2030, you'll own nothing, and you'll be happy. And of course, Klaus Schwab and the IMF and the International Monetary Fund, they're all linked together, you know, out of Switzerland. And so I find it fascinating that all of this group are basically the money lenders.
That's always the money lenders, bro.
You know, remember Jesus got so mad at the money changers in the temple. He actually took the whip to them and flipped their tables over. Remember
exactly that? Called them a den of thieves.
And then he said the love of money is the root of all evil.
He said, you Pharisees, he said, you guys are the descendants of Abraham, but you're not the children of Abraham. Your children are your father, the devil. It's an interesting reference when you look at John 8, because what he does is he makes a very clear distinction between being a descendant of Abraham and being a child of Abraham, meaning you follow the Most High God or Yahweh. He's very clear on that in John 8. A lot of people fail to realize that.
And also in the book of Revelations, it talks about the synagogue of Satan. They claim to be Jews, but they are not.
Right.
They're of the synagogue of Satan. It says that twice, by the way.
Well, and that's why he calls that out so clearly in John 8, because he wants to clarify, just because you are the bloodline of Abraham doesn't mean you're somehow protected and basically you're following Christ, because you're clearly not. Yeah. So, again, you know, and this is what we've seen with all these businesses locally and stuff that I've seen with property. Every single time now I've dug into anything, a big buyout, it's a company that buys another smaller company, and stuff, companies that I've worked with now, suddenly it's a bigger company got bought out by another bigger company, and I start doing the digging, and sure enough, at the end of it, BlackRock is always at the end of the road, under the rock. It's funny, the name, BlackRock. Think about it for a second.
You know,
it's like the rock that they hide under, the black goo.
Harold Klaus Vela talked about black goo.
I know.
And he talked about the black rock.
Right.
And he talked about the black rock in Mecca.
Yeah.
The German government got really mad at him.
Yep.
Okay? And he was talking about how he felt as though this black rock was sentient.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did say that. He said that.
And so
you can watch him online if you want. He's got some pretty interesting tapes. By the way, here's a little bit of mental candy. Jimmy Buffett. Supposedly. No, he's in a Margaritaville.
Margaritaville.
Had a huge estate. He was supposedly worth about $1 billion at the time of his death. Now, somehow, the estate's dropped back down to about $275 million. And his wife of over 40 years was basically the recipient of the estate.
Okay.
Which I think that's pretty cool. They were married for over 40 years. They really loved each other. And now, all of a sudden, she's got herself a trustee that seems to want her off of all this. And he's only paying her like $1 million a year with a $270 million estate. He could put it in at 4% interest, you know, and make $8-10 million. And his management fees are close to $2 million a year. And so she's saying, hey, wait a minute, I don't want this guy doing this anymore. So now he's fighting to release control. He doesn't want to do it. I wonder why. And you think, well, why are you talking about Jimmy Buffett? I liked, you know, Jimmy Buffett.
Her fund manager must just love breathing free air.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Yeah.
But the thing that's funny about this is that, you know, I bring this up for only one reason, because, I mean, I'm sure she's very wealthy regardless, is that be very careful if you assign a trustee to your estate.
Exactly right. They know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah. I had another friend of mine. She said she was dating a guy who ended up having a trustee to his estate, and he absconded with the money.
Yeah.
Because you're giving them power of attorney. And they can do about what they want to do. And you got to sue them, try to get the money back if the money's even there anymore.
Well, and the biggest thing is, too, is, you know, understand some background on how they managed things before, how they're doing with income, how they're doing with finances. You don't take somebody that's broke, that has no idea what they're doing, is in shambles. Oh, by the way, I'm going to have you manage my trust for me.
Remember that happened to George Foreman?
Yes.
Remember, I watched that movie. He had a great movie on Netflix. I don't even have Netflix anymore, but when I had Netflix. And he hired this guy who was a friend of his to manage his fortune, and he lost it all.
Yep.
Burned through it.
What happens is, and you'll find this in business and other stuff.
Johnny Depp said it happened to him, too.
Yeah. Nobody cares when it's other people's money.
Don't care. Well, these fund managers, they make money when they sell the product. They make money when they buy the product. They always make money. So whether you make money or not,
they make money. They get their cut every time. And that's why a lot of these guys, you got to be careful, especially these financial planners. They'll come in and say, okay, you know, you give me, say, $100,000, and I'm going to manage this for you. Well, then you come back and say, I don't like the way you're managing my money. I'm pulling it out. Oh, that's fine. You can pull it out. But by the way, that little fine dotted line at the bottom that you didn't read, we take 30% if you pull it out early. 30%? You're not making any money on this. Well, it's fine. We'll give you $70,000, but we're keeping the $30,000 because, well, it's in the writing you signed.
I remember there was this elderly lady. I know you know her. Yeah. And she had like about – her husband died, and she had about, I think, $250,000 left in the estate in annuities, which were paying her good interest.
Yeah.
And she said, I want to put it in something to make more money. I said, no, don't do that. Leave it alone. She's 80-something.
It was locked up.
She was 80-something. But no, but she could still draw money off of it.
Yeah.
And she could draw money off of it at no fees.
Right.
And no income tax.
Unless she took a chunk out of it.
Okay. And so, well, no. This is before she did it. Then what she did, she had this group come into her retirement community. And I guess they were breathing a lot of free air.
Yeah.
And they decided to sign all these old ladies up who had annuities.
That's right. Okay,
and they put her into this whole life kind of thing. And then all of a sudden she needed the money. And all of a sudden it was 40% penalty.
That's right. I remember that 40% penalty to pull the money back out.
And all of a sudden 40%, you know, of $250,000 is $100,000. So she ended up with $150,000, lost $100,000 in commissions to this guy.
Like that.
And what he did is he wouldn't write it up. The guy who did this to her, he had somebody else write it up because he knew what he was doing was defrauding the elderly.
Yep.
He didn't want to be held accountable for this, but she nonetheless lost $100,000 on that. And now to this day, she had to file bankruptcy again, and now she's basically broke because this guy took her money because she didn't listen to me, and I told her to leave it alone in the annuities that they had already matured, and they were drawing interest, so she could pull it out without any penalties at all. Be really careful with financial planners. There are some really good ones out there. There are.
And some really big scammers
out there, really, really
too.
Bad ones, too. So be very, very careful.
Oh, this is other bubble gum. You talked about it earlier. Here's the video you're referring to in that thing with Biden, where his hands go through the microphone right here. You see that? Watch that.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that.
Look at that.
Hand went right through
the microphone. Hand goes right over the microphone. Oh, they said it was just a visual glitch. Here's the thing that they did, and they timed this so well. They had the exact same timing with COVID coincide with the Biden theft. So he got to wear a mask all the time. Do you not remember all the time you always saw this bumbling buffoon idiot walking around with a diaper on his face 24/7? He never took it off. You know how easy it is to conceal somebody with a mask and another mask on top of a mask? I mean, the whole thing was a shame. Well, but anyways, I thought that because I remember they tried to come in and rebuttal this video. Oh, no, it was just a visual glitch. And then everybody's kind of like, but then we analyzed it. It wasn't a visual glitch. This was like dubbed in. There was nobody there. These are fake microphones everywhere. Yeah. So I would throw that out there.
Well, the thing about it is we got to realize, too, that, you know, these people that run the planet, the Kabbalists, Luciferian, synagogue of Satan, they don't really want you being awake. They don't.
No.
They want you basically to be, you know, just dumbed down and stupid, because they realize that if you're dumbed down and stupid, you'll do what they tell you to do. If you're on welfare, they'll tell you they'll do what they tell you to do because you got to eat.
Yeah.
You know, if you're dealing with unemployment income, you're going to do what they tell you to do because you want to have the ability to maintain your lifestyle and not starve to death. If you're addicted to drugs, whether they're prescription or over the counter or whatever,
you'll do anything
or
to get them
illegal.
Yep.
You're going to do whatever you have to. And so they want as many people under the guise of pharmakia, which it talks about that twice also in the book of Revelation.
Yep.
That's how they took over these countries in Revelation.
Well, that's why opium has been such a very important staple. It has. It's been an important staple in controlling the narrative. A lot of people don't realize, I've told you before, in the year 2000, I think it was Reuters and two other articles did big exposés about how the Taliban had pretty much almost wiped out the entire poppy over in Afghanistan.
Before 9/11.
This is 2000, a year before 9/11. Big expose on it. How essentially the poppy trade had been demolished. And how because remember, one thing about it, and I don't agree with a lot of stuff, but the Muslims are really, really against any type of chemicals out of your body. I mean, Saudi Arabia, I don't think you can buy alcohol in a lot of places over there. They're really funny about drugs and alcohol. I mean, that one guy that brought it up, he was over there in Dubai. He got busted with like a bunch of blow on a bunch of coke. He's doing like 33 years now in prison over there. 33 years. He wasn't even a Saudi resident. He was from the UK. I mean, and then people go, oh, I can't believe we're deporting these illegal aliens that murdered and butchered innocent women in the United States. How dare you deport them to another country? Really?
No, let's do a rerun on this. Let's roll this back a little bit. Back in the 30s and in the 40s, after the OSS became the CIA,
yeah.
After the 45 and the war was over with Germany, basically there was a group of people over in Germany. In fact, General Gehlen was one of them, and he wanted to have the ability to continue his fight against communism. He went to the OSS, which became the CIA, and said, look, we want to set off bombs everywhere in Europe and make everybody think it's the communists. And we're going to, and our government said, okay, let's do this. It'll be fun. We call it Operation Gladio.
Yep.
Now, here was the problem. You know, Chiang Kai-shek was over in China. He had a million-man army. Well, they didn't know how in the world he was feeding those people and how he was basically paying for those people. So they went over, the CIA went over to Chiang Kai-shek and said, how are you doing this? He was like, we're selling opium to the peasants, to the masses. Oh, we're selling drugs. Because that gives us the funding to maintain a million-man army.
Yeah.
And so what they did, they found out that Vietnam had a great climate for growing poppy.
Yep.
And they started basically growing poppy. Well, then the people over there decided, well, we're going to compete with you. We're going to go into Laos and Cambodia, and we're going to start growing poppy too. And the CIA said, you can't do that. You know, we're the drug guys. We're using this for our black operations.
Yep. We don't have competition.
So then we started a war in Vietnam.
Yep.
And that's why Kennedy wanted to get rid of the CIA.
Yeah.
Well, then what happened is they found out that they could put 50 kilos of heroin, uncut heroin, into the body bags or the caskets of the GIs coming out of Vietnam. So we have a 50,000 person body count.
They go into detail. And I think that film, American Gangster with Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm. And what happens is why do you think you're taking the same hill 20 times? More body bags.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. So those poor guys in Vietnam were just used, and a lot of them came back addicted to this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, then what happened is they wanted to get rid of Laos and Cambodia's ability to produce and traffic narcotics, so they started bombing them, carpet bombing of other countries. And then they started putting water on the Ho Chi Minh Trail using geoengineering, which was available by cloud seeding.
Yep.
And then they ruined the entire climate, and their poppy fields died too.
That was back in the 60s. They were actually, the U.S. Air Force declassified all that information.
And then what happened is they decided a better climate for growing poppies was Afghanistan. And so they moved all their drug trade to Afghanistan, putting giant factories there. And I have had numerous troops send me videos and pictures of them driving around the poppy fields in their Hummers.
Yep.
And they were not allowed to touch the poppy fields or drive through the Hummer, you know, drive them, just didn't damage the crop. And, of course, they harvested the poppy.
Yep.
And they ran the CIA, ran that as black operations, and they sent that money all over the world in black ops. And it talks about this in Sicario.
Yep.
You know, I watched that movie, not for children. And then what ends up happening is they found out that fentanyl was more productive and easier to manufacture.
Dangerous.
And
stuff.
Suddenly, you know, we no longer have to be in Afghanistan, so we do an unbelievably ridiculous withdrawal. And I'm talking about a botched withdrawal. I mean, Biden should have been impeached for that.
Oh, I mean, we left, what did we leave? 68,000 machine guns, like a dozen or 20 black helicopters, grenades. I mean, we left everything over there.
Yeah, then all of a sudden, now we have fentanyl problems all over the United States. And they're brought, and what happens, they bring this stuff in from other countries into over about 1,000 military bases. They're basically lily pad bases that are owned by the federal government. And the CIA can land anything they want in any of these bases and not be inspected. Just thought I'd mention
they go into detail and disclose that in that Sicario film when he goes, oh, we're going down to El Paso. Mm-hmm. She goes, El Paso? He goes, yeah, El Paso area. So they go down there, the El Paso military base, on their private jet.
What was it? Was it in that movie or one of the other movies I remember where they went in, they raided this military airstrip, and this C-130 transport had come in, and they had all these surface-to-air missiles in there, and they were all hollow, and they were all full of opium. What movie was that?
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Remember that one?
You
guys tell me, send me the email on that. And so then all of a sudden the general says, see, there's nothing to see here because they were all missiles.
Yeah.
Well, then the guy pops one of them open. And it may have been Lord of War.
Was it?
I can't remember. But the thing about it is that they come in and so this transport plane is filled with opiates.
Yeah.
And the general who's retired now is making billions of dollars off of this.
Yep.
So he's out there bossing everybody around.
Well, and that's the crazy part about it. So when they come out with this stuff all the time, they say, we're doing this for your health. We're coming out with this new vaccine for your safety and protection. Understand there's nothing the government ever does that's for your safety and protection. It's always whatever benefits them to the highest degree, period. And that's a dark concept to grasp and a really big thing to bite off, but it's a fact. They don't do anything for your safety or protection, ever. If it happens to coincide briefly and benefit them, maybe, sometimes, but you got like this narrative cracking here. The CDC advisor who demanded and promoted COVID vaccines for pregnant women, the one who then refused to get a COVID shot while she was pregnant, while telling everybody that was pregnant to get it, now is suddenly resigned. She was the pediatric infectious disease expert for the CDC who promoted the COVID vaccine to pregnant women, resigned with her position yesterday with the CDC. Suddenly. My career in public health and vaccinology started with a deep-seated desire to help the most vulnerable members of the population.
There you go.
And now I'm basically stepping down and retiring.
How much money she got on the side?
Yeah. Well, it's funny to me. All this stuff, the shot gets pulled off the schedule. Then Moderna comes out with this new unbelievably bad shot. She got blasted. Remember, she's the one that got basically put out there. Oh, yeah, by the way, everybody's getting shot that's pregnant. Would you get a shot when you're pregnant? Gosh, no, I would have never gotten that shot while I was pregnant. Everybody's like...
By the way, real quick, the book to read about the CIA involvement in Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam is called Operation Gladio, the Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia by Dr. Paul Williams.
Yep.
It's one of the best books I've ever read, and I really suggest you get a copy of that. I know Paul. He's a good guy. He's been on the show several times. He's brilliant, and everything he says in that book is heavily documented. Also, we need to realize with the CDC and all these different people giving these drugs to these women who are pregnant, is that's all part of the overall eugenics protocol.
Exactly right.
When I was doing the seminars back in the 90s, a lot of these people who were in the government, Austin, at that point in time, were given huge speaking contracts.
Yep.
Some of them were getting $250,000 for a 30-minute speech. Now, I know some of these guys are pretty famous, but doggone it all. $250,000.
That's half a million dollars an hour.
That's a bit much.
That's a lot of money.
Way too much. And, I mean, I saw that personally with some of these ex-presidents. And even Bill Cosby, I think, was getting, $100,000 for a 30-minute speech.
Oh, man, did he fall far from fame.
Oh, yeah, I know. He's mean. What does it mean?
You told me that when you said you met him in there. You said he was just rude.
Oh, my gosh. He was just mean. He was yelling and screaming at the girl who picked him up. Because what he did is they were going to pick him. He's in Philadelphia, and they were sending a limo into his subdivision, the state area.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to do that. He didn't want a limo pick him up from his house, and I don't know why. And he wanted to take the train in, the public transit in. I have no idea. I mean, this is crazy.
Maybe to be more relevant with everybody in his area that he lived in.
You can't get you Bill Cosby. You can't get on a train.
That was back in the 90s.
Well,
too.
No, what happened is they went to the wrong track to pick him up, and he got mobbed. Because he changed the plans at the last minute. Now, whether or not they had the wrong train coming in or whatever, but he got himself just a mess. As he got in the car, he's screaming and yelling and cussing. And I remember Lori was in there with him. She was like 7 months pregnant. He said to her, he said, if you don't want your baby to hear what I'm about to say to you, you need to get out of this car.
He said that?
Gosh. Now, she told me that. That's personal. I mean, I was in that whole, I was in the middle of all that. And then they brought him in, and I spoke to him. And then he was just a very, very interesting guy. He had the nicest clothes I've ever seen.
Oh, I bet he had some nice suits.
I bet his suit was $25,000. His tie was probably $5,000. And yes, they make $5,000 ties if you're crazy enough to buy one. And and then when I got to talk to him a little bit, he actually calmed down some. But then all the stuff that he was accused of and admitted to, and basically turned evidence on, and then they tried to put him in jail for what he did when he's supposed to be, you know, not to be prosecutable for it. And they finally got him out on a technicality with all that. But he was an interesting dude. There were two people in that seminar circuit that I did not care for. He was one of them. Actually, there were three, but I won't mention the other names. But one of them is dead now, and I know his son, so I'm not going to say anything about that either. But the majority of the people were pretty nice. But it was interesting because when you talk about that, the revolving door, and they get into the speeches.
Yep, the speaking circuit. And then they also get the – it's always funny how they always get a book deal afterwards too. You know, so they always get this huge book deal. They make millions of dollars off of.
10, 15, 20 million signing bonus.
Speaking of other crazy stuff, New York's attack on medical exemptions goes another step further and gives school officials power to override doctors on vaccines giving medical exemptions. Yeah, this is nuts. New York just – gosh, they have just no bounds with their insanity. It says parents and medical freedom advocates who say the state's actions are placing vulnerable children at risk for further vaccine injury. This is crazy here. So it says 6 years after eliminating the religious vaccination exemption, making it possible for schools to reject valid medical exemptions, New York is now cracking down on medical exemptions. So they got rid of the religious exemptions. They don't exist. So they came in, if a doctor signed off and said, from a doctor's note, it is not recommended this child gets any more vaccines. They're having too many side effects. This is shown here. Well, now they're saying that the schools now have a right to come in now and deny the medical exemption and deny the child school if they have a medical exemption.
You know, it's interesting. The vaccines almost always have a latex cork in them. Okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are very allergic to latex. And a lot of the media is used as egg. And a lot of people have very bad egg allergies. Egg allergies, latex allergies. A lot of people have horrible reactions from vaccines because when they put the needle inside the cork, the needle's hollow. Some of that latex gets inside of the needle and it's injected into you. Just thought I'd mention that. The problem with all of this is that, you know, if you have a kid who's got a severe egg allergy or severe latex allergy and they have an exemption for these vaccines, and now the school comes in and says, we're disallowing this.
Listen to this. The proposed legislation is addressing case that of Sarah Doe, who is obligated to get 18 doses of childhood vaccine in 2019 after the state repealed her religious exemption. Sarah developed severe complications, including von Willebrand disease, a blood clotting disorder, kidney issues, and immune conditions. Yet, Sarah's school will not allow her to return to class unless she receives the final hepatitis B vaccine against the advice of her treating physician, who say Sarah's at serious risk of injury if she gets any more vaccines. Do you understand how nuts this is? But yet, you remember, you're forced to pay for the school systems with the public education, with the state taxes, and with the property taxes. So they're telling you, we don't care if you have a medical exemption from a doctor saying we do not recommend this person gets any more shots. We're the school system. We're the all-powering God in New York. We're going to tell you what you can and can't do. These people nauseate me, dude.
Me too. Here's another one that'll nauseate you. This is crazy. Jeffrey Epstein was good friends with Peter Thiel.
Oh, yeah. I heard about
that. And his estate is reaping millions. Mr. Epstein, the supposed late financier and sex offender, started by – that's why – actually, I don't think he's dead. That's why when Bongino came out and said that.
He was involved with too many people.
He had a dead man
switch. Too many moving parts.
Started by putting $40 million into Valar Ventures, a firm backed by Mr. Thiel. Today, the investment is worth about $170 million. Jeffrey Epstein, the registered sex offender, met with many powerful people in finance and business during his career. That's why they will not release the list, by the way.
Yep.
But the financier invested with only a few of them. One of them was Peter Thiel, the Silicon Valley billionaire. In 2015 and 2016, Mr. Epstein put $40 million in these two funds. Now, what's interesting about this, let me share something with you guys. This is really important. you know, the majority of these people who are worth billions and billions and billions of dollars, they didn't do this on their own.
No.
Most of them are cutouts. I'm just going to be blunt. They're cutouts. They were financed by the Rockefeller, Rothschild industrial complex to be put in as a figurehead, as a cutout, as a person who would be the front man. And I said this to you before. If every single business that's owned in Central Florida or here in local in Florida at all, you know, Rothschild's Disney World,
yeah.
Rothschild's, you know, Universal Studios, Rothschild's MGM Studios, Rothschild's 5 and 10, Rothschild
gas station,
you know, and you're looking at every single thing. And that, if you watch that movie, It's a Wonderful Life of James Stewart.
Yeah.
You know, he ends up dying, right, or not ever being born. And all of a sudden, Mr. Potter, whoever the guy's name was, has everything in his name. The entire city is with greed and avarice and strip clubs and all kinds of bars. And the whole place is Potter this, Potter that, Potter this, Potter that. And what's funny about that is, if they allowed themselves to do that, which they've done before in the past,
and then they get
the
busted.
Persecution is so great against them. Why do you own everything? This is not okay. And so what they do, they use front guys. Now, is Mr. Thiel a front guy? In my opinion, he probably is, along with Bill Gates and a lot of the other people. Remember, Bill Gates' mother and his dad and everybody were involved in the central banks and in Planned Parenthood. Suddenly, he's given all kinds of technical data that allowed him to create Microsoft, and many people say that that technical data that he has as far as developing personal computers, et cetera, all came from Roswell from 1947.
Well, and this is the part that I've tried to explain to people why I'm so diametrically opposed to the expansion of Amazon and what they're doing. Now they're buying property down there through more cutouts.
Rothschild's Amazon.
Lake Wales is basically having an Amazon right by another, you know, their landing strip down there. Everything is getting based off one giant company. It's exactly what you said, Rothschild Amazon, BlackRock Amazon. Amazon was only reason why it got built was through federal funding. It got some of the largest military contracts in existence back in the 2000s and the teens.
$600 million one.
Yeah, well, there was one contract, the one that really got a lot of attention because everybody goes, why was this a no-bid contract?
CIA cloud service.
Oh, that's funny. The details about the CIA's deal with Amazon, $600 million computing cloud built outside the company is a radical departure for the risk-averse intelligent community. So you got to tell me right now, you have an agency, which, by the way, they're very, very sharp on a lot of things going on with spyware. The CIA goes, we're going to go and give, you know, Amazon, the online book retailer, the contract to house the servers for the CIA. Think about that concept for a second.
Who did what to who?
Who did what to who, and what were they trying to cover, and what did they know? This was in 2014 when this came out, over a decade ago. And since then, after this, Amazon exploded like an atomic bomb with sales across the entire world. Now, Amazon centers in almost every neighborhood, electric Amazon trucks in almost every neighborhood, Amazon Boeings in almost every neighborhood, everywhere. Now, suddenly, Amazon's in every single town.
You know, it's funny. I always get a kick out of the Amazon electric vehicles being charged by Diesel generators.
Now, if you go there, there's a gigantic diesel generator system outside the Amazon Center that they put in Auburndale so they can drive their little EV trucks around because they're green. So they have to plug them in every single night and burn diesel fuel to charge. They have to have backup generator diesels in case the power can't handle it that their substation has.
Oh, by the way, and this is about right, you know, because, you know, we talked about how people want to basically believe there is a God. They really do. People, human beings want to know there's a higher source of intelligence.
Yep.
And people want to they want to believe that God exists. And we talked about how the group of people that are doing what they're doing with AI, they want us to be tied into another dimension, into an interdimensional interface, like Jordy Rose said, to stand before the altar of an alien God. Now, that's his quote, not mine. Now, here's the interesting thing. Thousands and tens of thousands of now AI users believe that ChatGPT is God.
Whoa.
Told you guys what they were trying to do.
That's creepy.
A growing number of tech users now believe that AI is God. They think they are accessing the secrets of the universe with ChatGPT, warned journalist Mike Lee last month. Wow, do you think this is a tiny fringe of lunatics? Not at the least. In just 5 days, the moderator of Pro AI Reddit announced that they are now banning these fanatics. More than 100 have already been blocked. They didn't have a choice. Quasi-religious posts would fill up the entire AI forum if moderators did not censor them. 2 days earlier, another Redditor warned of thousands of people online with spiritual delusions about AI. This movement seems to be achieved some kind of critical mass during the months of April and May of this year. I'm telling you guys, this is going to allow Lucifer to come omnipresent. That's what it's for. That's what the 6G, that's what the 5G is for. That's what all these brain chips that we talked about yesterday are all about. It's about destroying human beings that are in the image of God and basically allowing Lucifer to come in here and rule the planet, control every thought of every mind all the time, just like he did in Genesis chapter 6 with the days of Noah. And that's what Jesus said. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. He warned us that this was going to happen. And they're doing it again, Austin. It's like they have the same playbook over and over
they
and over
do.
Again. And what they tried to do with the Nephilim and with the fallen angels who had been basically, you know, condemned, they tried to breed enough humans with them to destroy the gene pool so that God would be forced to give them a plan of salvation. I cover this in Angel Wars, by the way. And so that didn't work out for them when Moses flooded the planet.
Well, here's what you got to think, too, taking a step back. You know, we're over here talking about stuff with AI. We've watched the inception of it. We watched the internet grow, our age, younger generation still, too, even some of the Gen Z. What's going to happen with these young kids, including, I have to think about this, because I mean, I got a 15-month-old son. He's 15, 16-month-old, running around everywhere. What's going to happen when he's introduced at some point in time to AI? Because he will be. There's no way around it. And he's introduced to AI, and it's at a level of computing that's unmatched by any other monster of a machine, and essentially it starts being integrated in the school system.
That's why you don't put it in a school system.
Right. No, I won't, but I'm just thinking about that. But a lot of kids are. And a lot of kids are going to have these platforms already integrated in their laptops.
In a theta brainwave state.
Right. And so, again, and then on top of that, how are you going to keep this stuff out from preventing continued learning? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I mean by that is, how are you going to keep the kids from being able to just have a little pocket AI? What's the question? What's 8 plus 8 times 16? Boop, done. I mean, you're going to have AI that's going to be able to answer.
It's going to be a brain interface.
Right.
They won't have to look at a computer. They'll just ask their brain to do the interface. It'll do the calculation.
They already do. I already know a lot of kids that are in college, that graduate from college, and they didn't write majority of the papers they did. They had AI write them. Then they go through multiple filters to make it look like AI didn't write them. They take exams. There was an app somebody showed me a while back ago. You have the app on your phone while you're taking the exam. You take a photo of the question on your phone that's on the app, and it gives you the answer to the question. Not joking. I watched
I was a professor for years, okay? And that's the professor's fault.
That's because all these classes are online now.
Oh.
All these classes are online.
Oh, and if they don't have a proctor, not being monitored.
Majority of the classes are going online or dual, in-class and online now. But because here's why. It's way easier for the professors to handle online classes. Yeah. They don't care. They're not having to walk up in front of a class, you know, it's 7:30 a.m. three times a week. They just go, oh, here's your class, here's your coursework, do it in, turn it in. That's why so many classes are online now. And so, again,
that's why they're getting all the answers off of the
And
adults,
that's why so many of these kids are suddenly graduating with like 4.0s, and they have no idea how to even write a paper.
Paul Craig Roberts talked about that, the summa cum laude and the magnum cum laude of all these kids now, and because they're not really doing the work themselves anymore.
Not doing anything. And then you start talking to them, you start seeing what they produce, and it's trash. And you're like, wait a minute, you graduate with honors with a 4.0 in this degree. Well, yeah, I know. Then, I took all online classes.
And then there was organic chemistry.
And then there was organic chemistry. Well, but then there's apps for that, too.
That was a horrible course.
But a positive note, I want to bring this up. I saw this earlier here now, because speaking of the bankers, their infinite stupidity, they finally got slapped this time. Banks now, including Citigroup, Citibank, they are lifting the gun makers and sellers restrictions on their credit card policies and their virtual terminals now. They're removing it. They said the bank is rolling back the policy it launched after the 2018 Parkland mass shooting. Many retailers are following the practices that essentially they tried to demand. Citigroup on Tuesday ended a 7-year policy restricting how it provides banking services to firearm manufacturers, sellers, and resellers now. Remember, before they were literally going in companies, there were manufacturers or dealers. You could not use any terminals with Citibank. They'd block you. They'd ban you. They wouldn't let you do transactions with them. And so now they essentially have pulled that back. I don't know why. There's always a reason why they do this stuff. They're saying that essentially the administration has demanded they do it because it's unscrupulous business practices, because you're discriminating against someone.
Years ago, 10 years ago, when CBD oil came out.
Yeah.
We had a really high source of this stuff.
It was organic. It was clean. It worked. It had minimal amount of THC. We were getting great results.
Our bank contacted us and said they were pulling down our entire merchant account if we didn't get rid of the product.
They were banning us.
They're banning us. And we're like, what did we do? You know, well, you have an article about it on your website, and,
yep.
and you're selling it on your website. We had to immediately remove it from the website and pull all the articles that I had written.
It was insane.
No, and they didn't give us a choice. It was either that or shut the whole company down.
They said we're going to have to go find a virtual terminal that operated under high risk, which was either gun sellers or porn. You remember this? That's what they said. That's what you're going to have to operate under with enormous fees. And we're like, dude, we literally sell one version of CBD. We got 100 other products that are high quality.
Did not
natural
care.
Didn't care. You're selling a CBD product. You're getting shut down. You have to go find a high risk terminal. And we said, okay, whatever. We'll pull it off the market. And we did. And it was rough. And now there's so many companies now that have to deal with the same thing. So firearms are now being pulled off this restrictive category, which is a really good thing now.
Oh, by the way, in 1776, the French anthropologist Emmanuel Todd predicted the downfall of the Soviet Union in After the Empire, first published in French in 2001. He predicted the decline of the United States. Wow. He goes, and he quoted him, trans ideology is therefore, in my opinion, one of the flags of nihilism that now defines the West, this drive to destroy not just things and people, but reality. That's what transgender stuff is.
Yep.
Todd recently opened a Substack where he is posting speeches and talks he has given. He goes, the downfall of the Soviet Union led to deep psychological societal dislocations in Russia. But the collapse of the Russian in 1990s is something I would never have anticipated. It took decades for Russia to overcome the psychological disorientation that resulted in the destruction of its political and economic system. Now, he says a similar process is underway right now in the United States. He goes, all of this has a bearing upon what is happening today. I'll talk about those things in his lecture and how the United States is basically being defeated internally now by cultural Marxism and being taught that transgender is good. What are you listening to, Austin? Is that me?
I don't know. I can't. I'm on mute.
Oh.
No, that's you, bro.
Great.
I'm like sitting here
because
you're mute.
I'm like, awesome.
What is popping up on my laptop?
I just started playing.
Yeah. That was on you on that one, man.
But the reality is he's right. You know, the destruction of the West and its dislocation. And, you know, it's not just the United States, Austin, either. Europe has gone completely rogue with openness and being woke.
No, it has.
It's much worse than the United States.
Oh, yeah.
And you see it all the time. You see these girls that are running around with pink hair, blue hair, purple hair, and cover from top to bottom with tattoos. They absolutely hate men. Now, I'm not saying everybody's got tattoos is like this, but I'm just saying it. I've seen this repeatedly. And the crazy part about all this is that you stop and you look at it and you go, what in the world happened here?
This is something that's important. One last thing, for I know a lot of people on Social Security, the Department of Education now has been pulled back. They're not going to be able to garnish Social Security checks on defaulted student loans. This was nuts. If you guys remember, I told you guys it was going into place in May.
Whoa.
If you defaulted on student loans, they were going to be able to go in and garnish your wages.
At the age of 65.
They said, oh, by the way, you defaulted on a student loan from 40 years ago. We're garnishing your Social Security checks now starting the beginning of June.
Who stopped it?
I think the Trump administration did. Department of Education said they're now stopping it from basically, for the Trump administration announced that essentially they're going to stop it. So this just came out today. They're still going to go in and garnish wages, but they can't go in and seize your Social Security check. You know, the banker boys, they have no ends of greed.
The love of money is the root of all evil.
If you've had student loans for the last 40 years, do you understand how many times you've paid over those student loans and interest?
If you've made any payments at all.
But even if you didn't.
If you didn't, you have much compounding interest.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, you had a $10,000 loan in 1970. It's worth $250,000 now. We're garnishing your student loan. We're garnishing your Social Security checks. We're garnishing your wages. But it's a $10,000 loan.
But remember, they did it with the Roth IRAs when they killed all those people with the COVID shot.
Yep.
Because they took half of their income from the Roth IRA
yep.
when the rest of the family got the other half. They seized the money. And that's just happening all over because they want to have the United States is fiscally broke.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
done. It's had it. That's why Elon Musk is so mad about the budget. He has, you know, it's ridiculous what you're doing. And now, of course, they're saying that Elon Musk is saying that because of Tesla. Now, Elon Musk may not be saying that because of Tesla. That might be what they're speculating.
That's
because
true
he's
too.
Saying things.
Well, they might be using that as basically the rebuttal. Oh, this is why he's mad about it, because he's going to lose the EV subsidies, which mm-hmm. could be a partial reason. But I can tell you right now, there's a whole lot more stuff that he was trying to expose. Because when he came out and he started saying, we're going to audit Fort Knox,
that's
and all
it.
Of a sudden they said, oh, Doge is over now. Goodbye. Your contract's over. You need to go ahead and leave. You guys have a good evening, my friends. Run the clock down on that one. EyeSight on sale, 10% off. Check it out, Team Health Masters. Emails, calls if you need anything. Appreciate you guys.
Love you guys. Appreciate you. Remember, Jesus is always the answer for everything. He's the author, the finisher, the creator of our faith. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thank you for your prayers. It means the world to me. And if I can be of any service to you or try to help you with anything, please feel free to call me at AskDrTed@yahoo.com. You guys are absolutely
We'll call the office.
We'll call the office. It's easier to call the office, honestly, because I don't check that email about once a month. I appreciate you guys. I thought I'd say that. Love you guys.